Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm going to take a picture of us and
Oh, yes.
Let's do
take my glasses off just for the picture.
Okay, nice. I like that. But it's good that you're wearing them. Oh, look. I want to get both our marathon tops.
Yeah, marathon merch.
We did it. Nice.
This is old. This is one of the ones you get when you apply to the ballot and you don't get a place and they say, would you like a t-shirt instead?
And you're like, that's the same.
Yeah, go on. So this is about 5 years, maybe more like 8 years old.
Well, I was thinking about that. Well, we're going to get there. What are we going to run? Round the park?
Yeah, let's run around the park.
Let's run around the park. I like that plan. It's running commentary. It's early June and it's grey, although I think it might rain. And we're joined by Vicky Stone.
Hi, Rob Deering.
Hi. I say we're joined. Actually, I'm joined because today you replace Paul Tonkinson.
Yes.
Which is a sad tale of woe.
Not least
because you gigged with him the other day, which is how this came to pass.
Yes, we gigged. It was the first gig after the London Marathon, and I was going on stage without a toenail.
I feel so naked.
Yeah, I was trying to grapple with wearing stage heels.
Yeah.
With my feet in a very, very bad state.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How are your toes now?
I'm still one toenail down.
Yeah, yeah.
And one is completely purple.
I've got two purple ones, but they both hung in there, and then one of them got better really quick, and the other one is still just looks like a blackcurrant.
No, I had to have one removed.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Well,
I had it removed on the way to a gig. Yeah.
I'm not good with toes and nails.
I'm not good at looking at it without the nail on.
Let's change the subject.
Yeah, okay.
And talk about Paul's hernia.
Yeah, Paul's hernia.
Hey! Mm. Actually, good news. The reason he's not here is because when I was away last week, he went and had an operation. Long term, great. Seems a lot better. Yeah. All good. Short term, recuperating.
Yeah.
With all the sore stories that involves, and I'm sure he'll come back and tell us himself.
I've met quite a few men recently that have recently had hernias. That is the thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess I think it is, isn't it?
I've got no experience of this myself, and I have to say that just for a second there I felt jealous, but it's passed. Because I feel all right.
Okay.
So, we'll try and, you know, I'll try and be Paul every now and again to cover for his actions.
Okay.
But right now, let's talk. So, let's talk running. You did the marathon this year, but it wasn't your first London marathon. How many London marathons?
That was my second.
Yeah.
I did the first one, I think 2015?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that because...
I saw you.
Saw you in the starting tent and... And you did a fantastic photo bomb because I was getting a picture of me with Helen Georgia from Call the Midwife.
Yes.
And when I saw it later, there's a little.
Yes, well, Helen and I are really good friends. Helen George, television's Helen George.
Yeah,
TV. And
she did Strictly that year as well.
She did Strictly that year. Yes. Well, the day that we ran the London Marathon, she had to finish in a certain time because she was presenting a BAFTA that evening. so.
And that's not a euphemism.
No.
I mean, I've often got to the end of a marathon and presented a couple of BAFTAs myself.
I mean, if there's one reason to get a time, it's because you've got a car waiting. But we had this plan. We had this plan to run together.
Yeah.
And then she sort of managed to get me into the celebrity bit of the marathon. And so,
well, not because of your own celebrity.
Well, we were doing it together.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. So we met lots of other people. So there's people like Greg James there.
Yep.
And what she didn't realise is that lots of celebs hire pacers. So they hire people to run with them.
Yes.
And she actually wanted a bit of a faster time than I did. That year, I just wanted to get round.
Yeah.
And so I got chatting. She said, oh, do you mind if I run ahead and go with Greg and their pacer? And I was like, yeah, fine. Off you go. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
So I get chatting to a man in the tent and we chat at the start. And we'd never met before and I had no idea who he was.
Yep.
We ended up running that whole marathon together.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Start to finish, chatting the whole way around.
Yeah.
I didn't know who he was. But I ended up running it with, he was a sort of 90s Premiership footballer called Lee Hendry.
Okay, yeah, no, mate.
Yeah. So now we're really good friends.
Excellent.
It's really strange. Like I know I'm not particularly a big football fan, so I had no idea. And we just had a...
Yeah. Well, a friendship forged in the furnace of a marathon is going to stick, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely.
We're used to that as comedians, the whole spend a six-hour car journey with someone.
Yeah.
Then that's it. You know each other well for the rest of your lives, even if you don't see each other for years at a time.
Yeah.
But a marathon is like that to the power of extreme experience.
Yeah, it was really sweet. Things like he got stopped by BBC Sport to do an on-camera interview.
Yeah.
And he pulled me into shock. He was like, look, we're doing this together.
Yes.
I thought that was ever so sweet.
I think it's also worth noting at this point, this feels like a good moment to drop the fact that you were dressed up head to toe as a dog.
Yes, both marathons I've done as a spaniel.
Yeah. Which is brilliant. I'm gonna try and root out that picture so I can include it on the podcast.
Oh yes.
It's really
good.
But
the first year was quite a sort of spaniel light. It was a normal sort of running outfit.
Yeah.
And then just sort of dog ears, dog face paint, tail.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was
that's why the photo bomb is so good. It's a dog bomb essentially.
It's a dog bomb.
Yeah.
But this year I went all out. I went all out.
Yep.
And did a full body animal costume.
Yeah.
And it was actually an official Guinness World Record attempt.
Yes.
And that was a
weird
experience.
Was it the full body suit female record attempt that was actually taken in the end by Kate Carter?
Yes, it was.
Right.
So the record to beat was 4:13.
Yeah.
And I thought I could shave 5 minutes off that.
Yep.
Fine.
Did you?
So no. I'll explain that in a minute.
Yeah, good.
So this very part we're running around now,
I was training in,
and I would train in far too many clothes. So, like, a running suit on top of that, jogging trousers, like, I just basically was doing all my training being boiling.
Yeah, yeah. Bradley Cooper at the beginning of Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
Rather than doing too much running in the dog suit. I did do a half in the dog suit to train, so I did go out in it. But, yeah. So I hadn't at any point in this process thought that on the day somebody else would be going for the same record.
Yes.
I just didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
And so I've got this bloody dog suit on and I arrive at the green gate and then I see this woman as a bloody panda and I was absolutely raging. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, all those hours running around the park in boiling outfits.
And there's a blooming panda.
And I've actually got to make a decision as to whether or not I race a panda. And I was really downhearted. You know, I was really kind of like distraught. I was like, oh, fuck. And there's this woman that I'd met at the Cambridge Half.
Yeah.
And she told me at the Cambridge Half that she was trying for fastest Snow White.
Yeah.
And she's quite a runner. Her fastest marathon was 3:17. And she was gutted because she gets in. There's three bloody Snow Whites. There was two guys in skeleton outfits.
I never had, until this year, I had absolutely no awareness of this subculture of people Guinnessing off against each other.
Yeah, but actually having to race.
Yeah.
And I saw this panda. And
more so than people who aren't dressed up in silly clothes.
Yeah. But I didn't know who it was in the panda outfit, and I saw that she was in the fastest... fastest zone, whatever it is. And I was like, okay, well, I've got no chance. So I got a pep talk off the Snow White.
Yeah.
Because I was like, right, I'm going to abandon it. Not going to do it. Just take the costume off, get round. And she went, no, Do it, but don't go mad.
Yeah.
Because you won't get the record. So just go round and do it in a costume. And
yeah. I mean, in the long... But, you know, with hindsight and everything, it's slightly a gift because it's like, now I can just do it and enjoy running around in the costume,
yes,
which is still
yes.
a big thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I assume you're doing it for charity.
Yes, I was doing it for charity, and I did it in 4:19.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Fine. But, you know.
I mean, that's a good time for someone not dressed as a dog.
Yeah, but the thing is that I didn't have to then go ape shit, basically. And I did have a nice time. And yeah, she got 3:48, so I had
yes.
no chance.
No, it was preposterous. She smashed it.
Madness.
And in the spirit of full disclosure, that's who we ran with last time. So, you know, but I know there's no real tension there.
No.
I'm picturing a panda and dog fight.
But you see, the thing is that what people do is they create records.
Yeah.
So you've got a man there with an ironing board.
Yeah.
You know, going for a fastest marathon with an ironing board.
Yeah, it's like a Google whack. You need a low-hanging yeah. fruit.
Exactly.
I mean, the first transit. Although the funny one is... And listeners will know this from before. In, you know, there's sort of things that people do. I mean, I think in the UK it's like, I will do the marathon and do it in fancy dress for charity.
Yeah.
That's a kind of accepted course of action, which I now realise is very British.
Yes.
You don't see that so much around the world. In New York, quite a few people, like only one or two, but like a sub-contingent, you know,
yeah.
run it backwards.
What?
Exactly what?
Backwards?
What's that all about?
What?
Who runs a marathon backwards? But what? Enough people that if you did it, you wouldn't be the only person doing that.
That's insane.
Isn't it?
That's really strange.
It just seems so counter to the whole... I mean,
backwards.
What kind of marathon are you having? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's very strange.
So, because that was what I thought of when I thought, what would be the Google whack? What could one do to break the record? I think that I did think this year that me and Paul should be the people who podcast the whole marathon, but I didn't think of it until the day before we podcast the whole marathon. There's
yeah.
probably something in that, but then they'd have been strict and said, you have to do it, you have to not lose any of the files or have anything wrong. And of
yeah.
course, this being running commentary.
Well, there's quite, well, whatever you decide to do, they then set a fairly stringent set of rules around it.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you can go to the toilet, but you can't remove any of your costume outside of the toilet.
Yes.
And you can't move on the course in any way
yeah.
with any bits of it missing.
Yeah.
Because there was that controversy last year about that witch who,
right.
who did a Bucks Fizz and whipped off half her skirt.
Yeah.
And abandoned it.
Right.
And then I think she got stripped of her Guinness World Record.
A witch's skirt.
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous thing
I
to
know.
Be happening in life.
Yeah.
Was it just you and Kate the Panda? Or was there like a half dozen serried animals ranked on the start line going,
no.
damn it?
No, it was just us two. So there was... The only people doubling up, there was men as skeletons,
yep.
women as Snow White. Snow White I thought was quite easy because
yeah.
it's basically just a sort of, you know, Smithy's dress.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, so they were
quite
running.
Light, if not breathable, quite light.
Yeah, well, they were running really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were going for threes.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, if my lady that I met thought that she wasn't going to get 3:17,
yeah.
then...
Here we are, coming out the road, sorry. Hey!
Yeah. So, but it is a definitely an extremely strange subculture that I hadn't thought through.
No.
I hadn't, my brain hadn't prepared in any way to actually race someone.
And jumping back to your other marathon.
Yeah.
With
Lee Hendry.
What, first of all, what was your time then?
I was 4:44.
Okay, so...
All the fours.
Eminently respectable.
Well, I wasn't aiming for anything.
Yeah.
And he hadn't trained. He's obviously a professional athlete, so...
Yes, which makes a difference.
Yeah. So he was, for him, going quite slowly, and I was yeah. doing my best.
Yeah, good.
And after we'd reached a certain point, there was just, like, this thing where we'd wait for each other.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really nice
yeah.
that you fell in together.
Yeah.
It's funny how that stuff... about pacing and that, there is something very nice about stumbling on it.
Yeah.
Because it's too much pressure on it when you plan it.
Yes.
But if you don't have it, then you haven't got that kind of support. You know, it's a really fine line, so...
Well, there was something about, for the most recent one, about abandoning that record attempt, abandoning it in my head.
Yeah.
Taking the pressure off. That makes it quite enjoyable.
Yeah, very freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
You know. And yeah, I did the whole thing, what's 6 to 10 minutes slower than I might have done otherwise, but hey-ho.
Yeah, that's
not
much.
What I mean.
Yeah, exactly. But do you think you would accept that challenge now you know it exists, or are you like, oh,
yeah, I did like it, and I would like to try perhaps something else.
Yeah, yeah. And how did Helen do when she was off to the BAFTAs? Was she off ahead of you?
I think she did about 4:15 to 4:20, something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely went off ahead.
Yeah.
But I think she lost the. I think she lost Greg James and
right.
their group. But it's so interesting. So someone like Jenson Button, who did it that year,
yes, he did.
Had about 5 pacers,
yeah.
and they run around him in a circle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really fascinating.
I didn't know until then that Formula One drivers need to be physically fit.
Yes.
So I was kind of a little bit appalled by Jenson Button because he was so amazing. And I think that my wife thought he was pretty amazing. And we were getting our massage at the same time afterwards. It's like, oh yeah, what's it? I think he did it in 2:52.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's like you don't need the car.
No.
Damn it. It really hurt. So, and running in general is you know a couple of marathons.
Yeah,
you're running here today. Oh, did you run to me today?
No, I cycled.
Me too.
Oh.
I was going along the towpath giving big cheesy grins to runners, which is pretty disastrous anyway, but when you're not running,
yeah,
they're like, who's the smiling cyclist? Leave me alone. So, are you near Victoria Park?
Yeah, not too far. And also, I tend to go, my gym is in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
So what I tend to do is leave my stuff at the gym, run down in London, run down the canal towpath,
yep.
round Victoria Park,
yeah.
back down the towpath, and that's about 10.
Excellent.
So that's my sort of preferred 10K, and then I'm at the gym, and I can sort of shower and then carry on with my
and
day.
When you're at the gym, do you train as a dog?
I went in there once. I put the dog suit on very late at night on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And there was two other bemused people in there going, okay. I mean, I'm hoping it was quite obvious.
They must work it out. That's
yeah, of course. But you see, I did the Cambridge half in the dog suit.
Yeah.
And I used that to kind of work things out, which was sort yeah. of things like... The crotch was too low,
yeah,
which
right.
is a disaster because that's like chafe central.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sort of the nose. So the rules were the head had to be completely covered.
Yeah.
You could have a space to breathe.
Yeah.
And the nose on the dog suit was too close to my natural nose.
Right.
Which meant that no fresh air could get in.
Yeah, right.
So I had to sort of put some foam in there just to
give it a
push
bit of
space. It forward a bit. Because otherwise, I mean, you don't want to not breathe.
No, no. But also, did you have that thing? I think the one thing we got from Kate running the whole marathon in a full-body animal suit is the incredible relief of taking the head off when you get over the line.
Yeah.
Was that a special moment for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 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 it was, absolutely. But luckily, it was the day for it.
Yeah.
It was about the sort of similar conditions today. It was kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
a little bit warm, but... You know, if it,
yeah.
My plan always was if I wasn't going to pursue it and make myself ill.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it was too hot and I was feeling like I was about to faint, I'd just take the bloody thing off.
Yeah.
So I had an outfit on underneath that I knew I could just run in.
Yeah.
If I wanted to abandon it.
So good. So you had the kind of the purity of getting around the marathon was
yes.
kind of always there to
oh,
be achieved.
Yeah. Getting around the marathon was always the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if I had to finish it in my bra and pants, that's how I'd finish it.
Yeah, people do.
Exactly. Exactly. No one cares.
And so you've done those two London marathons. You haven't done any other marathons. But you were saying that you've been in the ballot before. You wanted to do London more often.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do it. I think I applied in the ballot. I mean, it's one of those things where the first time I applied in the ballot, I hadn't really run.
Yeah, right.
I mean... It's one of those things where, I guess because of what I do for a job, this whole sort of comedian thing,
yes.
you're often setting yourself ridiculous challenges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I just put into the ballot and didn't get it.
Yeah.
But then when I did it, with the Dogs Trust the first time.
Yep.
And then they've basically asked me every year since.
Yeah, good.
And then this year, I was like, okay, then fine. I'll do it again. Yeah.
Oh, so there's a wolf runner over there. He probably thinks he's taking a mickey, but that is just a coincidence. See, I would never... I'm really impressed because, morning magpies, I'm so... the idea of doing it... Because people always ask, don't they? So, oh, you're doing it in Fairs and Jess when you say you're doing a marathon.
Yeah.
It's nice for you because you can say, yes, yes, I am. But I can't imagine it. I think it would make me panic real bad.
It's so funny because I'm about sort of 21 miles. My brain's like, right, this is it. I'm finishing this and then I'm never doing it again. And then when you finish it, you're like, well, I'm doing that again.
Yes, that's right. It's something about part of the achievement is letting go of your joy. You saying that just then reminds me of Paul saying when he did his sub 3. He kind of realised it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the sense of victory. In a sense of, oh no, I'm going to be suffering like this to the end.
Yes.
And I'm going to get that thing I wanted, but this is what it's going to cost.
Yes.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Kind of healthy, I suppose, in the long game, but at that moment in time, that's pretty dark.
Yeah, I think the thing that came to me was obviously now I want a sub 4.
Yeah.
Because I've did 4:19 in a dog suit.
Yeah, that's right. That seems very reasonable. It seems possible.
Yeah, but it's sort of whether or not... The hard thing is just the commitment to all the long runs beforehand.
Maybe, yeah, that's right.
It's, you know, and especially as a gigging comic, you find yourself having to... But then, like, I was always doing long runs in places where I was gigging,
yeah.
Which means that you get to see somewhere...
That's right, I do that
...beyond
a lot,
an arts centre car park.
You do run in places you go to on tour, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you do it? And I think it's nice, sometimes you go to places you've been going to for years and find out more about them from running.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yes, I ran something, one of my longest runs, I think the 30K,
yeah.
Was I ran, I think it's something called the Middleton Way or the something way.
Yeah.
And it runs from Stockport, it's a disused railway,
yeah.
That runs from Stockport down to Macclesfield.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just a straight line.
Straight down.
Straight down and back, sort of 15K each way.
Yeah, brilliant. It's those Victorians, you see.
Yeah.
Towpaths, municipal parks,
yeah.
and old railways.
Yeah.
Though I was in Blythe, or maybe Ashington, and someone said, oh, it's a great disused railway, you should run down now. And I thought, oh, I know the Parkland Walk, I know the Innocent Railway in Edinburgh, this is going to be brilliant. And when I got there, the rails are still there.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, hopping over sleepers, hopping over the rails, jumping on these big stones, got a big foot injury. That's so great.
God.
It's such a great thing. It's like, it's not a great thing. If anything, it's the worst disused railway I've ever
had. Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, I think then you need to go back, get a place in the marathon, London Marathon, through through the Dogs Trust, and then go Goldilocks, do the lightest possible, you know?
Well, I thought about that. I could do, if it wouldn't be dog related, so I could do Dorothy and Toto.
Oh, nice!
Like holding a. That's easy.
Dorothy. Yeah, get in the basket.
Yeah. Dorothy.
And you could do your Toto as a glove puppet, like Bob Carradine with the dog.
Yeah, go around with an act.
Yeah, nice. Do a few turns and then note as it gets
tougher.
The trouble is,
now I've said this on this podcast, I'll get there and there'll be another one. That's what will happen.
I thought you were going to say that you've committed and you have to do it, but no.
No.
Someone else.
Someone else will go, oh, yeah, that's a lovely idea.
I just thought of it. I was listening to Running Commentary. I had this great idea.
And then there'll be nine of us.
Yeah.
And I'll be really cross.
Yeah. We should mention something really specific now. Do you remember how Bob Carriages used to wear a silver wig for that? And now if that person wears a silver wig, they got it here.
Yeah.
So, talking comedy.
Yes.
We rarely get to gig together because you are what is known in the trade as a musical comedian.
Yes. So we don't. People will rarely book us on the same bill.
That's right.
And no, I think like a charity gig or something.
What you do is morning mag. But I mean, what we both do is elaborate. But what's the digest on your act for someone who hasn't seen it?
Well, I mean, if I'm in a comedy club, it's just a bit of stand up and comedy songs at the piano or keyboard. But on tour, it's a slightly more sort of showbiz theatrical.
Yeah.
It's in essence a comedy show, but there's, you know, a couple of costumes and it's just a bit more. I work a lot in theatre as well anyway, so
yeah.
I tend to sort of use that, and I tend to get a bit carried away.
I was going to say very, very roughly that you're more formal dots, orchestral proper instruments, whereas I'm a bit more kind of rock pop.
Yes.
Not that you don't visit rock and pop, but you know what I mean.
I come from a sort of classical music background.
Yeah.
Not that that's necessarily what the material is about.
No, but that's...
But
skill set. And wasn't it, maybe it was the same year, maybe it wasn't, but did you do, by the way, I've got a bit of nature in the back of my throat. So if I keep going, like Will Smith in Hitch, I can only apologise. You did a show with loads of instruments, like a full...
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I did this kind of conceptual show, which I used a loop pedal and used 20 instruments. And the concept was that I got people to lend me them.
Right.
And in turn, I told the stories of the instruments that people lent me.
That's nice.
You know, it's just sometimes with these shows, you need to have a bit of a thing.
Yes, that's right. A story you want to tell.
Yeah, or just jumping off from a point that feels like it's got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
This year's a bit different. I've not been to Edinburgh with a full long, with a full length tour run in 5 years.
Yeah.
I went a couple of years ago and did a one-off in the Pleasance Grand with a big one-off, which is a tremendous way to do Edinburgh.
In and out. Superb.
Bosh, boom, bye. So I'm doing my first sort of full run in 5 years this year, and it's very, it's not really conceptual at all. It's just called Songbird, and it's just stand-up and songs.
Nice.
You know?
But you're going to do Songbird by Heather Cassidy, Stroke Fleetwood Mac.
Well, I tried.
That's not a funny song.
But I tried out in previews, and it died really badly. So I don't know whether it's just that audience or whether it's a terrible idea. But what I did is that I bought this, at the expense of £65, an eagle outfit.
Yeah.
Full body eagle outfit.
Nice. Just remind me, I've seen your public list image. It's fantastic.
What, a parrot on my head? Yeah, I didn't want to get a new photo shoot. So I just said to my designer, can you just put a parrot on my head, please?
Nice. All done.
Yeah, done.
What's the Songbird? Yeah. And where are you on? What time is first? Do the
Pleasant.
Part?
Oh, yeah. Pleasant, yeah, 7 o'clock. But yes, I had this eagle outfit, and my idea was to. My idea was to sit at the piano, and as people come in, I play sort of jazz standards, but bird stuff.
Yeah, great.
So I played Songbird.
Yeah.
I played Nelly Furtado's I'm Like a Bird.
Yeah.
Blackbird by the Beatles. People were utterly bemused by it.
And it's difficult, made the whole thing, isn't it, when people are coming in to do something that's kind of mid-level, are we performing or are we not performing?
Exactly.
People get quite bewildered by that.
Yeah, it's what's known in the business as a pre-show.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether to try it again. I've lost my confidence in it, but I have spent £65 on the outfit.
The eagle thing is fantastic, although I think wearing it sounds a little bit egotistical to me. Maybe if Paul wore it, then it'd be egotistical. We're back. Should we go around the lake?
Yeah, let's go around the lake.
Let's go around the lake.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I mean, that's the funny thing, because it just all sounds great to me. But there is a real, I'm not talking about being egotistical, but there's a real luxury, because on the one hand, I have some crossover experience with high concepts and musical comedy. But on the other hand, because it's not me, I'm like, yeah, do that. Do all that.
Yeah.
Sing that. But it's amazing some of the things you find out, like, you know, singing a certain song will make the audience sad or make you want to stop singing it. Or sometimes you can have something that's absolutely hilarious, but the music is a bit too proper.
Yeah.
And that kind of kills the comedy energy.
Yes.
Like, I've got a really good wah-wah pedal. It's a really gorgeous piece of kit. And I wrote, you know, 3 to 5 jokes 1 year so I could include it in my show.
Yeah.
And they were, none of them worked because it sounded too proper.
Yes, okay,
it was,
yeah,
like the comedian had left and the guitarist had arrived.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's funny because I did a show, did a preview at the Wells Comedy Festival the other week. And
oh, yeah.
Nick Helm was on after me and he sent me a text saying, do you mind if I come and watch your show with my parents?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure. And and then he said at the end that, so I don't want to, you know, any spoilers, but there's just a bit where I slide along the floor dressed as my dog on his anus.
Yeah.
You know, like a dog slides along the floor.
Yeah, okay, I can see, we can see that. Yeah, yeah.
So I do that. And Nick sent me a message going, that bit made my mum cry. She found it really moving.
That is not what you're
playing. But that's because
for
the music is really, the music is designed to be this, you know, musical theatre style, big, big emotional finish, but juxtapositioned with,
yeah,
dragging.
So she just got kind of ignored the juxtaposition,
just wept.
That's beautiful.
Me sliding along the floor.
That's great.
As my dog on his arse.
I mean, that is a bit of a plot spoiler, but my goodness, we all want to see that now.
Yeah.
And you know, the dog thing is a theme in your work, that's clear. The dog,
yeah,
ties together the music and the running.
Yeah. Well, he's a great dog.
What's his name?
His name's Bert.
Oh,
yeah. He's 7 and,
yeah,
you know, he's just one of those. It's just Bert. He's just the sort of the constant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
when you,
yeah,
have a sort of, yeah, a life of self-employment and sort of,
yeah,
art and showbiz is often quite sporadic and, you know, you, it's not very, you know, you never go to the same place every day. You don't yeah, leave the house and go to a place of
There's
work.
There's not much of a through line.
No, and I always find, you know, the dog is the...
He is. Oh, that's lovely.
It's the...
I'm thinking of Chewbacca.
Is the anchor.
I feel like Bert is your Chewbacca.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's,
you
nice,
know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Bert wants his breakfast at 8 and his dinner at 6.
Very nice. Do you ever run with Bert?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I do. I always go to... I drive out to Epping Forest.
Yeah.
Which is the run I like to do with him.
Yeah.
Mainly just so he can go wherever he wants and without any issues.
Yeah, yeah, get in the forest.
But it tends to be quite a slow run because he'll, there's a lake and he'll get in and swim and,
yeah,
you know.
Good. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about the incredible amount of magpie action here today.
Why are you apologising? Have you organised it?
Yeah, I did. I put some magpie treats out before you got here. One magpie.
Yeah.
And as a result, there's about 1,000 magpies in Victoria Park. And you know what they say? 1,000 magpies.
Oh, surprise. I don't know.
Edinburgh Festival success.
Yeah.
And also I'm jingling because I went to the cafe and they don't accept cash. And
right.
I only had a note. I was very,
so you've now got,
I had a 2019 misstep.
You've got a percussion section.
I've got 36 50p's in my back pocket. But I pushed through the fact that I was showing my age and saying, well, at least now I'll be able to feed the meter.
And the young, of course, there were no meters anyway.
Yeah, gender fluid person, yeah, in the cafe was like, do they still have those? And I was like, yep. Nope.
No. Not a parking meter anywhere.
Yeah.
You might just about be able to find a tumble dryer to put them in.
Or the individual heaters in a village hall somewhere.
Yes.
That's the last time I saw,
yeah,
that. Oh, those cheap drama rehearsals get so expensive.
Yeah.
Mind you, I was saying, oh, yeah, they still have those there. And then I realised that the rehearsal session, see, it must have been in the middle of winter. Oh, yeah, I was rehearsing for that show we did early January. Early January, 98.
Yeah.
So that's not evidence that that happens anymore. So after Edinburgh, are you taking Songbird on tour?
Yes. Touring from September through to end of October.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, and then nice. Normally I'd do pantomime after that, but I'm not doing it this year.
No panto this
No
year.
Panto.
Is that because the marathon put you off costume? Yeah.
Well, I've got things to write.
Yeah.
And last year during pantomime, I also had things to write.
Yeah.
And I had to go in. They let me set a a writing station in the sound booth that was not being used.
Yeah.
In the theatre, and
right.
I wrote 28 songs for musicals that were going into production.
Yeah.
During a panto run, so every single day.
Wow.
I basically had to churn out a song every 2 days.
Yeah.
Without fail.
Right.
And send them off to be orchestrated. And
you're not going
to
do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stuff is good, and I'm really pleased with it all. But at the same time, fucking hell.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I'm not sure. I managed it because my brain didn't know what it would be that.
Yeah, that's right. You bit off more than you could chew. You chewed it up and swallowed it down.
Yes, but now. I wouldn't do that again.
Yes.
Knowing that that's the schedule.
So who are all those songs for?
Well, one of them was for a musical called Southbound, which was performed as a workshop in January.
Excellent.
And the other one is for another musical which has been commissioned.
Yep.
Which we've just... yesterday I recorded one of the... It's going to come out as a online animated musical first and an album. So I can't say who it's been commissioned by.
No.
Boring.
It's one of those non-disclosure agreements you were telling me all about.
Yeah, I know. Whenever I'm told not to say something, I'm usually like, "Hi, so I'm doing this. You've not asked me about it, and you don't
I've
care."
I just come from a meeting where
I'm just
told
telling
not
you.
To tell you that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really cool because I've sort of got this album and this online animated musical. But I mean, I had to have the two musicals finished at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's quite good because I'd write one song from one show and then one song from another show.
Yeah.
And if they felt a bit similar, it's okay because they're from different shows.
Yeah.
So I had.
But also, I think I don't know what you again shoehorning my own experience in here, but I wrote. I don't write musicals anymore, but I used to do this, and. I was listening to a tape of a musical I wrote years and years ago, and I remember at the end of it realising that I'd used the same tricks in some of the songs. Like, they had quite a lot of the songs had massive rhythm changes, like change of time signature or half speed.
Yeah.
And I had they were designed to be played on... simple instruments with it because it was wanted to we did it with the band and then had to do it with the backing track, so I recorded it very live with an electric guitar and drums and bass and no keyboards, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
I remember listening to it back after the studio and just going, "Oh, it all sounds the same." And then listening to it years later, it sounds really good now because it sounds like it's got a house style.
Yes.
It sounds like a band would. You know, bands never say, "Oh, we sound the same as ourselves."
No.
Because they're looking for a voice.
It's funny because I didn't realise this, but there's a chord progression that I use. About three-quarters of the way through the song, I change the regular chord to essentially a brighter one.
Yeah.
Brighter slash chord. And my orchestrator's like, "That's a Vicky Stone thing."
Oh.
Because that's all that I sort of use that similar technique to lift the same, just as the performer will be belting and taking that the familiar thing to a new level. I use the same. And that's quite nice.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that this is the kind of thing you have to remember. It's really good what you were doing with the writing to it once because it gives you that distance. Because this is the kind of thing which, if you notice it in another songwriter, you'd always like it.
Oh, absolutely.
You
know,
like, I've got a really obscure one, but I've got Robert Smith in The Cure using a A7 shaped B flat, so you get that open G in it.
Yeah,
And that's a gorgeous chord.
Yeah.
And whenever he uses that, which is probably not that often, but it's certainly in more than one song.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, there it is."
Yes.
And I bet if I said that to him, he'd be like, "Damn it, you saw through me."
Yeah, it's funny. There's one song where it's quite banging, and the orchestrator, because we recorded it with 10 musicians, and the orchestrator took some of the feel that I'd written out, and I'd deliberately written jazz funk over a Scottish tattoo style military snare.
Nice.
And he took the military snare out, and I was like, no. That's the point.
That was the thing.
It's a song about meerkats.
But let's look at a pattern here. Maybe you need to take the dog bum slide out of the moving song.
No.
I was juxtaposing. I'm juxtaposing right now.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I think we should wrap it up when we get to the cafe. Just because, I don't know about you, but I'm so sick of these 50p's jingling. We're throwing them all in the lake. But it's amusing to think of what Paul would have said as we got slightly into the minutiae of a musical.
Yeah, we started chatting chords.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
I did read the other day, I read that the guy who, the songwriter who wrote all Tom Jones' big early hits died, and I was reading his obituary. And they were saying they sat down, you know, it was totally, it was a factory, you know. They'd write they wrote for different people, and it was really clear on, like, so-and-so liked schmaltzy stuff, and so, you know, Tom Jones liked something like a couple of bluesy notes, and something a little bit sort of sexy. Anyway, they were writing Delilah, and it was all together, and it was this big, doomy, sort of folk songish model. And then the other guy, I was either lyricist, it doesn't matter. The other guy said, and then go major in the chorus.
Yeah.
No, then we had it. I just love the idea that song existed before that.
Yes.
And now when you hear that, you think, of course.
Of course, yeah, whoa, yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a brilliant. It's like, those details are great for us.
Yes.
Well, thanks for this. I'm going to get a picture of us by the lake.
Yeah.
And then the things we need to do.
Before and after.
Paul has texted me right now. He's probably got some secret.
Some sort of question.
You know, I don't know whether it's a message for you. So you have to see the whole non-selfie photo thing. it could be a message.
I'll take my glasses off again.
Good. But by talking, you've made it clear to our listeners that you were wearing glasses. But they're good. They're proper glasses.
Yeah. They're also covered in paint. They're my painting glasses. I'm renovating a house at the moment.
Can I take a picture of your glasses for the sake of the story? Yeah. There's and you're renovating a house.
I'm renovating a house, which is a terrible thing to be doing at the same time as preparing an Edinburgh show.
Yeah, it's almost like trying to write a load of songs while you're doing a pantomime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly it. every day I'm like, I don't want to discuss a kitchen anymore. Just put it in.
Slap it in.
I don't care. Fine. Yes. Damp proof it. Good.
Well, Paul will be back soon. But in the meantime, I didn't really miss him because I had you here.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Oh, if you tweet, right?
Yeah, I do tweet.
What's your Twitter handle?
@ Vicky Stone. VIKKI.
VIKKI.
Yeah.
That's key.
That is key.
Songbird will be in Edinburgh and then on tour. And hopefully we'll see you at some kind of
running event.
Some kind of dog.
Yeah.
Bert related.
I'll be dressed as a dog doing some stupid distance.
Yeah, you'll probably be doing an ultra dressed as Bob Carroll this time next year.
Yeah, or a triathlon in my eagle outfit, getting money's worth out of it.
The eagle outfit! Sold.
There we go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.